What a joy. My goodness. I thought for a minute that you were going to be like most Baptist churches. The most unused part of the church is the first three pews. But you almost filled them up, and that's good. But we're so excited about being here on this Thanksgiving community-wide service. And I'm just going to take a personal privilege, and for the other churches, we want to say thank you to Calvary Methodist for hosting us tonight. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to share God's word with you on this Thanksgiving time. I've been preaching for some 44 years now, and this is the first time that I can remember, ever remember, bringing two Thanksgiving messages. But we're going to try it tonight, okay? And we're excited about being here. And I'm really excited about one family that's here. When I was at Eastside, I was pastor there for some 13 years and would have never made it without my co-pastor that was there and her husband, Debbie and Neil Darcy. And just so, now, you'll have to get her to explain that to you. We don't ordain women, but anyway, somewhere or another she got that title. And they were part in leading a lot of Easter productions at our church, did a tremendous job there. And probably some people in glory now because of those things. And so we just appreciate that, and I just appreciate all of you for being here tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to read verse 6. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 11 and read verse 11, 12. And that will be our text. Now, we're going to use most all of Philippians 4. But I've never preached a Thanksgiving sermon from this particular passage of Scripture, so I hope that it becomes relevant as we proceed with it, okay? Now, I want to begin as an introduction about something that I do with fear and trepidation, okay? And the reason that I do this, that I am not a storyteller. And you can ask my people at Reno. I do not tell stories well. When I was at Eastside, I'd been there for several years. I felt like I'd been there long enough to be planted there, you know, just a little bit. And each Christmas, sometime in the first of December, we would always have our Christmas meal, our church Christmas meal. And we'd always have some kind of Christmas entertainment there. And so one year, I decided that I would be the entertainment. And so I've always sort of wanted to be a comedian. And I said, I'm just going to be a comedian. And so I got all my preacher jokes out, and I had them pretty good, and having a little bit of a notepad. And about 30 minutes later, I could tell that the people there were much more restless than they usually are when I preached a 30-minute sermon, and that's hard to do. But I could tell that I had not done a good job. And they being good Baptist church members, they let me know that I had not done well in the entertainment that had been presented to them tonight. And the common consensus of the congregation of Eastside Baptist Church was, Brother Carl, don't quit your day job. But I want to share this story. And I hope that it will become relevant in the message that we share with you this evening. There was a young preacher that came to a church. He had been called there by the pastor of the church. The pastor was going to be out. He had been called there to bring a message with the understanding that his honorarium would be a love offering that would be taken at the end of the sermon. So he got up, and being a young pastor or being a young preacher and just on fire for the Lord, and he brought a tremendous message, and it came time for the love offering. And so they had an agreement that the usher, small church, and the usher would come to the front, and the pastor or the preacher would give him his hat, and that's what he would receive the love offering in. So he came up, and the preacher gave him his hat, and the usher proceeded to go through the congregation to get the love offering. When he came back, he looked in the hat, and there was not one thin dime in the hat, not one. So he thought a minute, and he said, "Lord, I know I'm supposed to be thankful, but just give me something to say." So he said this. He said, "Let's pray." And this was his prayer. "Dear Lord, I thank you I got my hat back." Now, sometimes we live in a life that's thankless, don't we? We have so many struggles that we go through that we wonder how that we can continue to have the thankful heart that we know that we as Christians should have, so that we can be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ during the Thanksgiving season and during and throughout the whole year as concerned. But I believe that in this passage of Scripture that I want to read to you this evening, that we find the key, or that we find the secret of a thankful heart. Because if our heart is not filled with thankfulness, there's no way that we can offer thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just share with you about three verses of Scripture in Philippians 4, and I'm going to read verse 6 and then verse 11 and 12. Verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then we skip down to verse 11. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come this evening and we thank you that we have the privilege of gathering at this church, your church, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we do it on this special season of the year where we, as a community of believers, as a nation of believers, gather together for a time of a thankful heart to you for how you have blessed us, how you have blessed our nation. Father, help us to have a thankful heart. Teach us the secret of a thankful heart. God, I pray now that you would hide your servant behind the cross, that Jesus Christ might be lifted up in everything that is said tonight. May this message, may this service bring glory and honor to him. Cleanse me of every sin, Father, that I might be that vessel that your Holy Spirit would use this evening. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The secret to a thankful heart. Because you see, if there is not a sense of thankfulness in our hearts, there is absolutely no way that we can express thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father for what He has done for us. Because there is always going to be Satan who is going to creep in and try to cause us not to be satisfied or not to be contented with what the Lord has given to us. Now, Paul realized this. And Paul says, I have found the secret of a thankful heart. And the secret of a thankful heart is to be content in whatever state I am in. Now you think about Paul, and you read about Paul's life, and you read about his activities through probably at least 20 years, maybe 25 years of ministry. You know that here's a man that suffered many things for his Lord and for his Savior. He writes in probably what is his last epistle to his son in the ministry, Timothy. He is in a Roman prison now, and he realizes that the Roman government is about to take his life. And he writes these words. He says, I am now about to be offered as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have run the race. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Here's a man that has struggled many times for his Lord and for his Savior. Yet every time that he struggled, he had learned the fact that contentment was the secret to a contented heart. Now, one thing I love about this is that contentment is learned. I learned contentment a long time ago. God called me to preach when I was 35 years old. I was saved when I was 28. When I was 35, God called me to preach. Now, in that period of time, from 28 to 38, God taught me a lot of things. And one of the things that he taught me was how to be content with where I was and with what I had. Now, one day, I was out in the field. Well, not one day, it had been over a period of time. And it was one of those years, if you're a farmer, if you know farmers, that, you know, if it comes to rain, it rains too much and washes all the fertilizer away. And if it doesn't rain, it doesn't do any good to put any fertilizer out there. It had just been one of those years when nothing had gone right. And I think I was just maybe a little upset. No, probably was just a little mad with God about that, because I just couldn't understand it. Now, I know that you've probably read the story in Luke 18 about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Do you remember that story? There was two people that came to the temple to pray. There was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. Now, the Pharisee, his prayer was that he was telling God just how good he was. Now, the tax collector was just the opposite, and he was telling God just how miserable and how awful he was. And Jesus asked them, says, who went away blessed? And they said, well, the tax collector did. Well, I was just telling God about how good I was. I was a good Christian. I went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I was working, my wife and I were working with the youth in the church. We give up our tithes and I was offering. And I was reminding God of all of those things. And yet I had friends out there that were, you know, their language was not what it should have been. They never went to church, or if they went to church, they went when they had to go. It was one of those times. And so I was just simply asking God, God, why are you allowing all of these bad things to happen to me? And it just seems like that you're blessing those that don't respect you and don't have any love for you and show anything about it. And then God speaks to me. You ever had God to speak to you in that loud, clear voice? I mean, it was louder than what I'm talking to you right now. It was one of those God things. And he asked me, he said, son, what did I promise you when you became my child? And I said, well, God, you promised me that you'd meet every need that I had. And what I was about to do, I was about to tell God, and you haven't been doing that, by the way. But before I could get that part in, God says, well, now you show me one need that I haven't met in your life, and you and I will talk. Now, God speaks very bluntly sometimes. To some of us, he has to speak that way. But you see, God learned me contentment then. And there's been very few times in my life that I haven't learned contentment. And one of the reasons was that in that period of time, I learned that I was to be thankful for the things that God had given me. Because I want to share something with you. God never gives you too much. And God never gives you too little when you're walking with him and in accordance with his will. I can promise you that based on the experience of my life and the experience of men and women that I find throughout the Bible. Paul had learned a sense of commitment in his life, and his heart could be filled with thanksgiving. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there are about three or four things that I want to mention very briefly that will give us a contented heart, or why that we as Christians should have a contented heart. The first one is this, that you and I, we have absolutely no reason to worry about anything in the world. Paul said this, do not be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, simply bring it to God, and God will provide those things that you need. When we sit down to the Thanksgiving meal this year, and as we come up to the Thanksgiving time, let us just think about this. Let us thank God, help me to be contented with whatever you have seen fit to give me, or whatever you have seen fit not to give me, so that I will not be anxious for anything. Folks, it's a wonderful life when we can live that way. Not to worry about anything. I don't worry about whether I'm going to live. I may not finish this message tonight, but I want to share something with you. If I don't, I'll meet you in glory. Amen. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a day, what a day that will be. It may come, or he may come. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? He may come. But I want to share something with you. We don't have to worry about it. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're in his hands. And he's going to take care of every need that you have. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior of your life, I would share with you very quickly the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you explicitly. I believe with all of my heart that if I had been the only person on this earth that needed to be saved, that Jesus Christ would have come and he'd have went through all of the suffering. He'd have went through all of the shame. He'd have went through all of the pain that he went through on that cross. He would have shed his blood just for Carl Harrell. I know that he shed it for you. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the law. There is no other way that your sins can be forgiven tonight except by coming in to his presence and saying, Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of your life or my life. Now, if you don't know that, I pray that before you leave this place tonight, that you would have asked one of these pastors here or some godly person that you know that can tell you how you can find Jesus. Jesus wants to save you tonight. Let him do it. It'll be the greatest event that's ever taken place in your life. All right, let's go now. All right. So we don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about my past. Praise the Lord. I don't have to worry about my future. Praise the Lord again. Now, there's something else that can bring contentment in our life. And when contentment comes in, it makes us have a thankful heart. And it gives us the opportunity and the possibility to come into a spirit of thanksgiving. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. Goodness gracious. I never thought for one minute when I was 28 years old and in that cotton field on that farm, when I asked Jesus Christ to become the Lord of my life, that I'd ever be standing in Calvary, Georgia tonight preaching a Thanksgiving message. Folks, I couldn't even hardly speak to my wife. I was so bashful. I mean, I was bashful. And for you to think for one moment that I could stand and preach, if God had told me that night to preach, I'd said, forget it, God. I can't do that. But over a period of time, I learned by trusting God that I could do absolutely anything that God wanted me to do. And folks, you can too. I am no special blessing. Whatever God has called you to do, whether it's to be a good mom or good dad, a good brother or good sister, or a good child, or a good church member, even to preach, or to be a deacon, or to be a Sunday school teacher. If God has called you to do that, I promise you this, that there is nothing that you cannot do that God will not strengthen you. Isn't that enough to have a thankful heart tonight? Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. Just think. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But there's one thing that's even better than that, and I'll be closing. Verse 39, and this sort of goes back to that conversation that I was having with God out in that field one day. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. My God shall supply all of your needs. There'll never be a need that you'll ever have. When you walk with Jesus, when you're walking the way that Jesus wants you to walk, when you're walking in his presence, I promise you this, based on the authority of his word, And the many people that I have known in the years that I have been pastoring and ministering, I've never seen a person that was in the will of God that God did not meet every need in their life. Why could Paul say, I am now being offered as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is now laid up for me that crown of righteousness which the Lord has given me, or will give me on that day. Why? Because he knew this, that just as Jesus Christ had met every need in his life from that day to the day that he was in a Roman prison, and he knew that he was about to die, that Jesus Christ would meet every need that he had in his life. Thankful heart. Thankful heart. The key to thanksgiving, I believe, with all of my heart. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. He meets our needs. He gives us the strength to do the things that he wants us to do. He gives us contentment so that there are no concerns in our lives. And he does it because he loves you and he loves me. If you don't know contentment, I'm going to tell you something. God wants to teach you. Think about these passages tonight. Let them become real in your life. God, there's not anything that you want me to do that you will not give me the strength and the ability to do. God, there's not anything that I'm going to need that you will not meet that need. Therefore, God, I don't have to worry about anything in all of the world. I don't have to worry about life. I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about heaven or hell, except I worry about hell when I have friends that are lost and dying and going to hell. Never let me get where I don't think about it like that. But God wants us to learn contentment. And with contentment, we have a thankful heart. And with a thankful heart, we can celebrate a time of thanksgiving with our families and our loved ones, and with our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for the season of the year. God, what an awesome God you are. Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the churches that are gathered together here, Father. I thank you for the members of those churches. I thank you for the leadership of those churches. I thank you for the pastors of those churches. And I pray, God, that we as a body of believers, whether we are Methodists or Baptists or Pentecostal or whatever we are, God, we're all one because you're one. And Father, that we can move out into this community and reach people for Jesus Christ because of the contentment that you give us in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Reverend Wayne McDonald. We would like to take this time to invite you to learn more about our churches by visiting us at calvarycharge.com or by following us on Facebook at Calvary Bethel Centennial. Remember that we are alive together in worship. As Ephesians 2:4-5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.